The About Last Night podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are the things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
The sports card industry has grown at a wild pace, reaching close to $13 billion in 2021, and experts believe it will reach $49 billion by the year 2032. My name is Jeremy Lee, and if you'd like to learn more through the experiences of lifelong veterans, industry titans, and the critical thinkers who bring meaning to these historical artifacts, tune into my podcast, Sports Cards Live, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're having a great week. Looking forward to a great weekend. Today is an ALN classic episode. That's right, we're throwing it back to the old days of the podcast. We had some bangers, some hitters, some legends come through the show, so we thought we'd dig deep and throw it back to some of those insane, hilarious, fun episodes. So enjoy the hell out of this episode. Of course, follow the podcast at ALN Podcast on Instagram and Twitter, at Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Enjoy the episode. Enjoy your week. We'll be good to see you.
This is so real.
I like when you said that when you came in. Yeah, well, we definitely didn't have...
professional.
Well, let's be honest. The...
All right. Good start.
Oh, my God.
Take it back. These chairs are a little fucked.
Nobody comedy pratfalls better than Brent Moore.
That wasn't on purpose. I almost tipped right over.
Dude, you just reminded me of when I went to my first taping of Undateable, and you did some sort of trip behind the couch or out the door.
I think
it was out the bar. You did a lot of trips out of the bar. Mm-hmm. And it was like an up a couple steps. And I remember like them wanting to do a rehearsal, and you were like, no, let's just like do it. And I was like, and dude, it was very Chevy Chase-esque, who I feel like is the king of pratfalls.
He was, yeah.
That
John
looked,
Ritter as well.
That looked so real right there.
That was real. I was just trying to see the view, and then I tipped over.
Yeah.
I feel so fat today.
Well, at least you said you had In-N-Out for the first time in a while.
Dude, it's like a fucking baby in here.
You got to treat yourself.
I'm breathing now.
I had Chick-fil-A for the first time in a while a couple weeks ago. And that was one of those, again, like, oh, yeah. Like, I feel, what a great choice, me.
Yeah.
And then 10 minutes later, you're like, I guess I'm going to get a new pillow.
And you're like, sweating inside
all
my
over
body.
Yeah.
Shit all over.
Oh, you don't shit yourself after you eat Chick-fil-A? Last time you were here, we didn't have this backdrop.
No, you didn't have... It's just like doing an interview on fucking, you know, something funny.
Yeah.
Insert a joke. Remember when we give up on improv?
Yeah. I did that on your podcast.
I just gave up my own... Yeah,
line
yeah there you go.
Yeah.
Man, improv's tough.
Yeah. It's a good go-to. I did it a few times on stage where I was like trying to... By the way, there's nothing worse than trying to handle a heckler and then just coming up short with a slam. And then you're just like... So then I said that once. I was like, oh, that's going to be my go-to to get some laugh and to quickly get out of the moment where it was like, oh, yeah, and then and so, sir, well, it sounds like that you definitely have had a couple... and you need to boy, improv's tough. And then they just kind of laugh at you. But if they don't laugh, they're like, yeah, it is tough. Maybe you should get better at it.
Yeah, I say... when my brain stops, I just go, you know, and insert something funny. I just say that.
Yeah.
I completely run out of like exactly what I want to say. And because sometimes it leaves us. You forget everything.
Dude,
you know?
It's crazy. I was just talking to somebody the other day about how much we talk just for like now. I mean, the Lion's Den pod, rocking and rolling, what, 6 episodes deep?
8 today.
Wow.
It's like, this shit's tough, man.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of work, right?
It's like an actual job.
But you've crushed it. You had on Swartzen, me, D'Elia, Sona. Sona was great.
And
what is it exactly? Because I don't know what it is.
Brent and Jason Collings do a podcast called The Lions.
Called The Lions Den. And we have guests like you. We've had Kerry Rhodes who was an NFL player.
Yep.
But then we started doing solo ones too. Like a thing I call Sunday Brunch for Mondays.
Yes.
Where it's like just 11 a.m. my house. We do like just me, Jason, and this kid Will, who's a producer. And that's actually really enjoyable.
You're going to find that is... actually going to be more fun, and I think a good way to look. When Brad and I started doing it, it was like it was just him and I, and we were like, oh, okay, let's get people on board with that.
Yeah.
But then you know, look, having guests on helps grow numbers, helps get people interested. You have access to people that a lot of pods, like I'm sure when D Quaid comes on.
I know, he said he would.
Yeah, he will. It's just about timing. A guy
like
that.
They called him D Quaid.
Yeah, I know. Dennis Quaid, for the people that don't know who D Quaid is.
D Quaid, DQ.
I'll never experience a cooler moment than seeing Dennis Quaid walk into the Comedy Store look and say, do you guys know where Brent Morin is? And you're just like, you were in Interspace. And a lot of other of my favorite movies. And then to walk in, see him give Brent a hug, and then sit down in the back and just belly laugh at Brent. I'd never seen him do stand-up.
Never.
I find after, and had texted you.
Yeah, I just would throw it out to him, like, hey, but because we were doing that show together, I was like, hey, if you want to come by the Comedy Store, you know, feel free. And he's like, and I gave him the times. He never texted me back. He just showed up. So I didn't even know that he was going to come.
Just old man style.
Yeah, someone just went, hey, Dennis Quaid is looking for you. And I went, ah, Jesus, really? And then I got real nervous. Because you want to be funny and you want to be cool in front of that guy. That guy doesn't need In-N-Out.
And then when you said D. Quaid, I didn't know if you were talking about D. Wade or that Australian little person who got bullied. Because his name is like...
Oh, D. Quaid. Quaiden.
Quaid, yeah. There's Quaid and D. Quaid. What is that? Yeah.
Yeah. What do you see that?
Yeah.
You hear about this?
Yeah, we talked about that on the podcast. Jason and I were talking about what Brad did and how great it was. And then we were also talking, because this is such an internet
how
thing.
How awful humanity is to immediately pull the rug out from under.
Yeah, to think that he's fake or 18 or something like that. It's really tricky to talk about anything without getting a blog written about you. So I try to stay away from things, although we didn't.
Although we went
after
it.
But then on the podcast, we even look it up again and... He is 9, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. Why do people do shit like that?
Well, here's the thing. I've been texting with Brad, even like Fahim and Sam Tripoli asked me last night at the store. They're like, so what's going on with Brad and that thing? And I'm like, am I the in to the dwarf community? And Fahim goes, you put in your time.
You did.
And, and I go, and I, well, I have been texting with him because I am also genuinely curious.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I have a direct line. Let me see what's going on. And he... right out of the gate, we just, you know, was kind of just celebrating what he did and what happened and what the next move was and how much money. Like, when I texted him, I said, dude, I can't believe, like, $30,000. And then literally when I texted him that and he responded, he goes, it's now over 170. I'm like, what?
That's crazy. Yeah, because they were trying to reach 10 grand, right?
Yeah. And then, but then he, you know, the thing is, a lot of those people that were kind of, the videos that were popping up, one was like World Star Hip Hop, and it was him with like trying to be a rapper with money. But I'm like, dude, my 5-year-old nephew takes after my brother-in-law and pretends to rap. So that to me wasn't like a defining, he's 18, he knows how to rap. Like, somebody was like, he said the N-word. I'm like, okay, well, like.
Well, what, Adam?
No, not whatever.
You're
going to
be
like,
when I was 9, I really threw that around.
No, but I'm saying, like, dude, his mom also seems very, as somebody put it, kind of like, you know, just... You know, not about not trying. I mean, the fact that she taped him, I don't know how many times he got like that happened before she was like, fuck it. The world needs to see this. If they had asked for cash and been like, look what's going on. Like, you motherfuckers, like, make this right. Send money. Make him, you know, give him an experience that's the opposite of this. Then maybe you could be. Part of me also want to be like, hey, maybe Brad's in cahoots with this kid, you know, and they're trying to split and they're going to split the money. You know, that's the ideal scenario. But it.
Cash and grab,
right? Yeah, but no, Brad was like, no, it's they're actively investigating because they've been talking with Ellen and Ellen's people were trying to be like, because they don't want to have was it moose on their face? What's the metaphor? Shit, no, egg on your face.
Yeah.
What did I say?
Moose on your face.
Plus, also is
like hair moose. Yeah,
I think I was thinking an actual moose.
Is Disney World the place you want to send a little person to?
Honestly, Jason Collins and I talked about that, and Jason, we call him Smooth Bully. The hardest thing, and he has a great relationship with Brad as well.
Yeah.
He fucks with Brad all the time, just like you do. Brad, you know, because you know somebody's joking, who cares?
Of course.
But
Brad does a great thing, too, first of all, where he makes you feel comfortable about...
Yeah, he's great.
He goes out of his way to make you, like, making the first joke, self-deprecating. It's truly brilliant, but at the same token, I think sometimes people that don't have the rapport with him that they... need to have to be able to throw back. I've seen him make them comfy, and then them being like, so like, are all midgets this cool? And
dude,
you don't get
long,
to say that
much.
You've met him for 6 minutes,
right?
But he makes you feel so what did Jay about
Jason, because it's I was laughing on it too, because he was trying to speak about it, because we were talking prior to that, even if it was fake, which it's not, it's still a good thing to promote for anti-bullying.
Oh, yeah.
So, and there's no way 18 or 9 that this kid wasn't bullied in his life.
That's what,
you
even
know?
If he was 18 and he cried from getting bullied, I'd be like, hey, man. Like, a couple weeks ago I cried from a bank commercial, but it was like, it wasn't bullying. But the same thing, like, your emotions are still very fragile, and 18 is still a very, and he's not. But, and also, even if he was, this is what I was trying to, like, you know, compartmentalized where I was like, all right, if he's 18, or I'm sorry, if he's an actor still, but not 18, or I'm sorry, if he's 18 and an actor, hold on a second. When you got moose on your face, no, if he's an actor,
yeah,
and that video was still though real, which I think it was, because I think we all have our instincts and our perception levels at observation skill sets at a high level being in the acting stand-up world, right? You have these very dialed in connections to like the human behavior. So when I'm watching this video, I'm like, there's no way this kid is acting this. And then I have to meet that halfway and go, okay, fucking Tom Hanks pretended to be Forrest Gump. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And but then I was like, well, even if this kid is an actor and he's a celeb, because there are all these pictures of him with all these cool athletes, I'm like, oh, maybe he was like a big deal. But guess what? That doesn't negate the fact that you can still be bullied and have your world turned upside down.
Exactly. Yeah, and all Jason Great, said is no, he just okay. made that one thing, and he goes that 10 grand, they raised like 300K or something, and 10 grand for him to go to Disney World. And he just had to make a comment. He goes, which, you know, for him, be very limited experience. And I was like, and he's right.
Yeah.
Because I agree.
You're saying because of the hype for the
ride. Yeah, because he can't be on anything.
I would like to think that they will step in and Disneyland will acknowledge who he is. And
they're not going
to
put him on a fucking roller coaster. That's about safety. He'll go flying out of the goddamn
They're going to have him work the roller coaster. That's the real problem. You know how many people are going to ask him where the bathroom is?
Yeah.
You're just like, I don't work here.
Yeah.
Stuck on the swings.
Brad worked there, you know, so he had...
Brad did work there, really?
Yeah, he was an escort for the...
For Snow White.
He basically would like... Because, you know, it's the same thing that I had playing Wolverine Universal.
Yeah.
We have PAs. I guess they were called escorts at Disneyland. But we had PAs that would basically follow you around that if, like... Look, I would get a lot of Japanese men that would, like, hit me with their umbrellas. I don't know why.
They're like, someone said something really? About an escort?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. These guys that were like... Dude, I don't know. They would tug on me a lot. A lot of like older Filipino ladies would just pull me out of pictures with other families into their pictures.
Oh wow!
And then with my claws, I would always. After a while, like the first few days, the first few days, I was like, "Don't ruffle feathers. Like, just get dragged." Yeah. And then after about a couple months, I was like, "Yeah!" I was like, "Don't fucking take a picture, bitch!" You know? And everyone was like, "Is that Wolverine's catchphrase?" And so Brad would help chaperone them because. Also, there would be like, dude, drunk dudes, apparently Brad would tell me, that would like, not cop feels on like Snow White, but like, they would be like, yeah, can I get a kiss? And Brad would have to be like, you can't do that, sir. Like,
wow.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a more accurate thing said in LA than I was with my claws? Because it's like a combination of pathetic and real.
I know.
Oh, dude.
That's the name of your bio. I was with my claws. Yeah. It means nothing, but it means everything.
Well, they asked me to turn in my claws when I got fired. If you want to talk about a true San Marcos crime. No, my boss literally goes, hand in my claws. I go, you could have let me walk out of here without saying that.
Handed your claws.
And then I go, here's a really humbling moment one night, and we can talk about just jobs in general prior to stand-up, but I was, you know, when we were hustling at the mics, you know, we were doing the ha-ha bunch, the store mics, the potluck sign-up.
Yeah.
I was there signing up, waiting for 2 hours longer than I was supposed to go up because Tommy just kept letting paid regulars come in, and now I'm going up at like, I don't know, 12:50 in the morning, and I had worked a long Wolverine shift that day, and some guy comes up to me afterwards and goes, dude, and I was talking about Universal because that was my world. And he comes up to me and he goes, dude, you took a picture of my family today. And I go, what? And he goes, yeah, dude. And he holds up his phone. And he goes, that's you. I go, can you let me just be away from that? It's almost 1 in the morning, dude. Can you let the two things be separate for one day? I forget, what jobs did you, well, Conan.
Conan, yeah, I was a PA for Conan.
Yeah.
For 4 years.
So you had I think you and I shared a similar thing with that. Like, I always, to do something entertainment based, right? And even like waiting tables, I put that in a entertainment type job because you're interacting all the time. You're having to flex your personality, be funny if you want. Also, the amount of people that fucking Mark has like served and met and made connections with, it's like, that I feel like is still like a part of that world. But you never wanted to do like what, a temp or like a delivery job or?
No, I mean, I was Conan. When I got that job, I was like, oh, thank God I'm in something in the business. But before that, I was a waiter, a flower delivery guy.
You deliver flowers?
Yeah, like to places like this. And then I was also a flower pickup guy. Not like if they're, hey, he wants the flowers back. I wasn't like that guy. But at weddings, like people rent flowers for tables and shit. So you go pick them up after the wedding was over. I was a construction worker. I did some electrical work too.
You got the vibe of like a guy who could play a construction worker in a commercial.
Right now, I feel that way. I feel right. fat as shit. Not that all construction workers are fat. Beard. Here comes the blog. No, honestly, I got that job in construction, and I don't know what I was doing, and I truly, truly hope that that place is not occupied, because there's some real, real bad malfunctions there. Like some shit. What dude, they had me soldering and shit. I don't know how to do that. So I'm up in the roof where these lights are and stuff and having to like solder wires together. And after a while, you're just up there a while. So you just, and you don't know what you're really doing.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know. I guess everybody else kind of had like.
How did you get that job if you had no clue?
I was under the table stuff through a friend of mine.
Nice.
They were like, yeah, just work on the crew, you know, and he'll teach you how to solder.
Sounds like a great friend.
Yeah.
Dude, it was fucking rough, but it was, I actually liked that job.
In Connecticut or here?
That was here. I was up in Mountain View, California for, I think, 20 days. I lived at a Super 8 motel with this guy, Arturo and Jesus, who we went up together. That was actually a great time. It was like a group of us. We all grew mustaches, and we were in Mountain View, California, near Stanford.
It sounds like a great life.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Because you would work like 20 hours. It was hourly. And then you go back and you booze. And then you go to work the next day. And then Jesus, who's super religious, and he was the hardest working one. He just was taught himself everything. Had a wooden cross. And then he would read the Bible to people sometimes. And it was just hilarious.
Is the Bible better when you're drunk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think you were just envisioning Jesus? And you called him Jesus? You think you were tripping out, drinking up there?
Shit, maybe. We're smoking pot, too.
Dude, there's something about those little, like, chapters of life, or even, like, where you're, you know, living in a different part. Also, there's going to come a time when you play a role where you're going to have to access that type of a, don't you think?
Well, that, and it was just like, then you start, we were there for so long, we weren't planning on being there that long. You're in a Super 8 motel, so you start to know people there. And then I remember, like, we all grew mustaches, so we all became men, you know, like, for some of us that were like, some of them were actual construction workers, and then some of us were just posers like me. And so when I had, goddamn it, In-N-Out, when I had the, it's
you get the In-N-Out burps. Yeah.
Oh, I hate it.
The burger burps are the worst.
But I say even remember, like, we went to a bar and we had our mustaches and I had the flannel on. I felt like Kevin Costner in a movie.
You were.
Like, I had the white fucking undershirt with the flannel open, backwards hat, you know, like tin cup. And I had the mustache. And I remember I met these girls from Stanford and I couldn't feel more like I'm the blue collar townie and she's the Ivy League girl. And I met this girl and then ended up staying in her dorm and I had a night.
Oh my God. Oh, yeah. Mustache?
Yeah. I was like true, like, and I really think she thought of me as like lower class kind of like townie guy.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, look what I'm doing.
Well, you were exotic to her for sure.
Oh, yeah. Felt like a man drinking beer.
This doesn't sound like something you would normally do.
No.
I'm fucking kidding.
No, it's true. I take the risk.
Yeah.
I was scared of women my whole life, so I started taking risks.
Yeah, there's...
Oh, that sounds terrible. Cut that part. That's not... I had no context. That wasn't funny. That made no sense.
There's something about, too, just being in a different... I mean, dude, I remember when I used to open for Bobby and, like, be in a different city for the first time. You feel so... Especially by yourself, like, can you even like take yourself back? I don't know if that was your first one, but moving from Connecticut out to the West Coast and just being by yourself for the first time is like an insanely empowering, scary, exciting. You're like, oh, I'm in control of everything that I'm going to do from this moment on. There's no house I'm going back to that's where I have to check in.
Uh-huh.
You know, even though you might have your folks checking in on the phone or whoever, you're like, every choice and decision moving forward is on me, which is kind of terrifying.
I remember the moment, like, my mom came out and moved me out and hugging her goodbye and actually feeling, like, sad a little bit.
Yeah.
And then 30 minutes later, I was like, this is awesome.
Hoorah!
Like, I have no rules anymore because I had strict parents, so.
They were strict, huh?
Well, just, like, I was very respectful of them, so. My dad is my hero, so he's like 50 feet tall to me. So when he tells me 12:30 curfew, it was 12. I was home, regardless.
Early.
I'd be home early.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. You know, shit like that. Never drank in high school because my dad was like, if I ever catch you drinking, you're not going to college, which I thought was kind of counterproductive.
Yeah.
You know, so I just didn't take risks. I would take life risks, like street lugeing and have my friend follow me in a car and going 40 miles an hour and stuff like doing stupid shit.
Yeah.
But like, but women were terrifying to me. I'd go to a party because my friends would make me go to the party, and I was scared there, you know. And then if a girl was like, "Hey, Brent, why don't we hang out?" And I just remember this, that she was the prettiest girl, and she had been drinking, and she liked me. And I don't know why, and I was scared of her, and I was a junior. And she was like, if you hang out, I'll make it worth your while. You know, and I was a virgin. And I was like, well, I really got to get home. And I went home. Yeah. And then she, like, slept with my friend. And,
of course,
I just remember thinking, like, what would happen, Brent? Like, worst case, if I came home late, maybe I'm grounded, you know? And I came to terms, like, at 18. I was like, okay, Brent, the things in life that I regret are usually the things I don't do. And the things I thought were a big deal later in life, I realized weren't. So I think, what if is the worst question you can ask yourself, and our imaginations be our best friend and our worst enemy. So take the risk. Go to a Stanford dorm and see what happens. You know, she could have robbed me. I don't know. And trust me, sometimes it's very regretful.
Yes.
But I started thinking, like, I got to... All this shit that I'm scared to do, I gotta do it.
Well, it's also in our business.
By the way, how great was that quote I made up?
That was fucking incredible, by the way. Can we play that back? Can we write that down? Yes, Sam's like, that was amazing.
That's what you do when you have all this pent-up virgin energy. When you're at high school and you're sitting in your goddamn bedroom just listening to Linkin Park as loud as you can, and you just start thinking about women and...
Although, I think I listened to Virgin Energy after I listened to Linkin Park. Yeah, that there's something about... And this is why you're such a good comic. Like, you have, like, yes-anded so many experiences in life.
Yeah, you have to.
It's what I used to bust D'Elia's balls about, too, when I was with him in Denver. And I was like, you want to go to the zoo? Like, we're in Denver. They got a great zoo. My buddy has a friend who works there. Like, how many times do you have a friend that works at the zoo that can get you in and save
Wolverine at Universal guys.
And then my friends are in there. And so I was like, let's go see some of these animals that you talk about in your act. It was when he was doing...
That's true.
I think the... one of the bird bits
peacock
or whatever.
Thing
the
or
peacock thing.
Bird,
yeah,
deer.
Bird, some sort of deer bit. Some
like a lion,
deer.
Birds in there.
There's a lion, there's a bird in there. And I think it was a dragon. And I go, let's go see the creatures that you discuss in your program. And he goes, he's like, nah. And he's like, let's just get coffee. And I was like, and I kind of went off on him in a friendly way of like, dude, you got, like, you know how much better those bits will be if we can actually go see the animals live? And he's like, yeah. And maybe they won't. And I was like, touche. Let's keep drinking coffee. But it was like,
you can't.
And look, he obviously, like, does enough to fill the.
Don't even get me started with him. There's somebody
to fill the experiences. But I so selfishly was like wanting to be the one, because we almost went, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna be the guy that turns him to, and maybe after that we'll go to a baseball game, and then we'll go to a concert, like all the things he hates. But you know, he obviously brilliantly can pull material from other places. But I think you are at an advantage when you do.
He's a man with his convictions, I'll tell you that.
1,000%. But, dude, the things that you have done, it's like, look how much more you get to pull from.
Dude, I'll be honest, on the Chris topic, when I was 18, 19 in college, and I just decided to go do an open mic, Chris D'Elia and Jason Collins were my two first friends in comedy. That's how I met you at the HaHa.
Yeah.
And I got in the habit of just hanging out with them. So neither of them drink. So I think, like, my freshman and sophomore year of college, I never went to parties. I went coffee shop, because Chris was always at the coffee shop. Went to class, then stand-up, then diner. And coffee shop, class, stand-up, diner. And my stand-up sucked. First off, 19-year-olds don't have anything to talk about anyway.
But no.
I had nothing to draw from. I had nothing because I wasn't living. I wasn't doing one thing out and about. So at one point, I just told her, I go, I'm done with this shit. I'm not going to diners anymore. I go, I'm going out late, and I'm going to make mistakes, and I got to get to this shit. And then my whole act changed, you know?
Because you remember the first experience that you had that you brought to the stage where you were like, all right, now I know what it means to have a point of view.
Yeah, I think it was...
Great. When we come back, Brent's going to have
that
memory
exactly
and more.
I actually know
exactly
what it was.
Yeah, okay.
It was... being bad at leaving bit I used to do where I was like, Mike, get the car and all that.
Oh my God.
That was from going to a party that I never would have gone to. I never would have went out and went to parties. And this is when I was like, through D'Elia, I met some of my still closest friends that he grew up with. And they had friends. I didn't have friends. And they would take me to cool places. So I'm hanging out with a bunch of, you know, vampires, just, you know, just CW vampires
just
and shit.
Actors.
Yeah. And I'm at this party, and everybody's so hot. And I'm like, guys and girls. And this
so
one
intimidating
girl,
in LA, by the way.
Yeah. And this one girl was like, Bren. And I was like, hey, Jane a Dame. And I was like, it's not even her name. And I go, did you just rhyme? And that sparked it. My friend's like, Jane the Dame. And then when I left, I just remember she goes, bye, Brent. And I was like, yeah, you make it a little fair it is, you know? And I was like, everybody was like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
And that was my first actual decent bit I wrote. And it was because I wasn't at a diner. I was actually out trying and doing something and failing. And then, you know, that's what we do. We take failures and try to make them funny.
Jesus, so. Write that one down too, huh? Fucking quote machine
well, that's
over here.
Comedian.
Did you remember?
You know what you got to do? Just every time I have a quote like that, just cut to me falling on the chair trying to look at a view. It'll take away all credibility.
That was amazing. We should cut to that. Just every 5 minutes through this episode.
Right after I said, how classy. Oh, God, fucking moron.
Well, thank God the windows are closed. Real big bummer. Imagine. You're like, hey, we got a great view. And then you jump, because then we never know. Was he, because you came in being like, dude, I hate in and out, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, the greatest pratfall ever.
You know what the problem with that is, too? And I would completely understand if you did it. It would do nothing but help your podcast if you posted it somehow.
I know.
So
we put greatest pratfall, yeah. We tag Chris Pratt.
Yeah, and you have like, somebody, you would have to have somebody else post it, and then you'd have to be outraged that yeah. It was released.
Yeah.
But then people would come to your thing, so you'd have that big battle like, is he dead? Yeah, he's dead. And then you'd be like, man. Well, we should use the clip.
How long goes by before we have that conversation?
3 weeks.
3 weeks?
Yeah, it's 3 weeks. You have the week of grief. The second week, you're like, I can't believe that actually happened. It's still not real to me. You guys have a text group. You talk about it. Hashtag, you know, love you guys. Bullshit. And then that third week, you're back at work like, oh, man. You know, I watched the clip. If somebody brings it up, you're all thinking it. Yeah, was it good? Yeah. I think he'd want us to post it. One of you guys would say that. And then somebody go, we can't post it. One of you'd have to be outraged.
Yeah.
It's the only way that this works. And then,
what did we say about what we do, yeah. What we were going to do? We're committing to the content.
We're bigger than this, are we? That's what Brent would want. I don't know if he did it on purpose. Do you know if he did it on purpose?
Let's ask him. Oh wait, he's dead.
He fell all the time at Undateable. Yeah. Never rehearsed. Adam, you keep bringing that the guy fell out of an uneven chair and through a window.
The window wasn't supposed to be open.
The window was. It's because the window was broken. This window shouldn't even be open. We should sue the building. All right, we're getting distracted. Post a video.
And then someone just steps up and goes, "The fact is, he signed the release."
We didn't have a release. It's right here. God damn it, you signed that.
He fell out of the window screaming, "Why does it have to end like this?" I don't think that's how he wanted to go. Now, does the show continue?
If you fall know out, as well as I know what he yelled was, "This was real."
Yeah. Yeah, there's a
one of my favorite things after a laugh like that. That I try to question. I believe that was a genuine laugh.
It was.
But one of my favorite things is the, yeah, afterward. Like, yeah. It's like you go from happy as shit to thinking about something in your life, like something sparks a memory. That's how it always happens. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why I love that so much.
Yeah. Are you good at faking conversations you don't want to be a part of?
I hate to say this, I got a lot better at it. Because of living here, I used to have such a problem being stuck in any type of conversation. I would avoid even industry parties and shit because, you know, being a comedian is like, is that my stupid phone that probably fell? I'm sorry if that's buzzing. I think, who is it? Gary Shandling said the second a comedian's comfortable at a party, he's not a comedian anymore. So there's always kind of that. But I've gotten so much better at it. You know what I got really good at? People I don't remember who come up to me and you just know the way they're talking, they know you.
They have a memory that they think warrants a bigger response from you.
Yeah, and so it I got really good at faking that.
How would you do?
I go, hey, we'll just say, hey, Brent, how you been? Just say that.
Hey, Brent, how you been?
Hey, man, how you doing? How long's it been?
Yesterday.
Wow.
Didn't expect that curveball.
No, I didn't. The guy in improv class everybody hates could just throw him under the bus. Jesus Christ. I didn't catch your catchphrase.
How long's it been?
At UCB? Didn't expect that curveball.
I said, you just like, Adam, you got to stop buttoning the scenes like you're on a show. You can't have a catchphrase in the improv in every scene.
How's your sister? Well, you should know because it's you.
How'd you like that curveball?
Yeah. Man, I don't want to do scenes with him anymore.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, if I bet him, yes, then that's totally on me.
Wait, but the how long has it been is actually a really good way to.
How long has it been? Yeah, I try to go, good to see you, man. Because you start running into people. One of the things I did realize, too, is like there's such a long. Here's what. Okay, now this is good, actually, because to me it was a defining moment in my life. It's just me, like, I'm in my 30s now, and I'm thinking, like, okay, I'm becoming an adult. Because you'll feel bad if it's somebody you're like, you don't remember me? We met like da da da.
Yeah.
Okay, bro. And then you're like, I'm sorry. I realized now these same type of people that do that are usually the people that would ignore me and never talk to me before I was on TV. So I met you one. Like, I had this incident. I went to this I went to a damn charity event for a friend, and I'm just sitting there with another friend talking, and this girl comes up to me. She goes, "Hey," and I was like, "Hey," and the way she was saying it, I was like, "I don't know this person." I'm thinking like, "Oh no," but I know she thinks we know each other, and I was like, "Hey," she goes, "Do you remember me?" And I go, didn't you work at him? Like, she goes, "No." She goes, "Wow, real class." And I went, and I go, "Well, when did we, you know what? Actually, I would just be like, I'm so sorry." This time I went, "You know what? When did we meet?"
Great.
And she was like, "We met each other through," I go, "Do I have your number? Have we ever hung out socially besides this? You know, seeing each other at something like this?" I go, "So where do you get off embarrassing me in front of my friends?" I go, "We don't know each other. Do I have your number? Have we been to lunch? Have we had a conversation?"
Yeah.
I go, "Have we ever done anything outside something like this?" I go, "So I think it's rude of you to come up and make me feel bad when I don't know you. And let's be honest, if I wasn't on TV, you wouldn't know me. So you wouldn't be coming up to me."
How do you like that curveball?
That was the most adult shit I ever did, because that's happened to me before, and I get embarrassed, and I'm a natural Irish guilt.
Yeah.
So I'm always feeling guilty. I always think I fucked something up. And there's a great thing is, like, I think that's the narcissist in me, because that person's not going home thinking about me. Like, if I'm out and some VP of like something like is there, like president of Warner Brothers or something, and I have two sentences with him, and then it's like, "Yeah, good to see you." And then, "Oh man, I shouldn't have hugged him. What did I do?" You know, like those things. He's not thinking about that shit at all. That's just in our head. And so it's like, between that and then calling people out when they try to make me feel fake when they're being fake, I'm like, I'm just done with this shit. Like,
it'd be great if he was thinking of it though, and you went in for an audition for the head of Warner Brothers, and he goes, "Hey, it's Brent the hug guy."
I know. Well, actually, shout out to him, Peter Roth. He actually is a hugger. So that was a bad example, but he's always hugs. But I've had that happen so many times where I'm like, "You piece of shit."
I love that you did that, by the way, because a lot of people don't take it upon themselves to call someone out on the
forced
remembrance. You know, it's like,
it happens. We meet so many people, and the thing is, I always say there's two versions of friends, especially in LA. I've realized you have my real friends or my lunch friends, because at lunch you got to have a conversation. Dinner's not a conversation. Dinner's an event.
Yeah.
So a lot of times you might be at a group dinner. Doesn't mean I know the person well, you know. I'll remember the person. I'm not like crazy, but you can't come to me like, "Mom, you're one of my best friends. We've never seen each other in the sunlight. Like, what are you talking about?" You know? So I'm just having this battle of like, it's my Larry David blow off. Yeah. Maybe because Curb's back, I started doing it.
Yeah, you're right.
I think Curb's back, and now I've like,
Curb has put, do you hear what I just said? I go, people want the forced remembrance. And it's
that's a curb line.
People want so badly for people to go, like, "You don't remember," like, people always look for, like, that, "You don't remember me?" It's like, well, do cool shit worthy of me remembering you, and then I'll remember you. But like,
I never called people out. There were people that I had met, even in comedy, that I'm friends with now, that I now that we're friends, I'd call them out, who literally would constantly forget who I was. But I never ever would call them out, because I was like, "Well, I wasn't memorable enough. Like, I wasn't putting it on them."
Yeah.
I just went home with that guilt. I was just like, "Gosh, you fucking unrecognizable piece of shit. Why don't you have good sentences?"
Yo, I was at the mic.
Like, that's what I do.
Yeah, your sentences suck, man. Yeah. No one remembers the words you say.
Stupid hugging idiot.
You have exciting syllables, you piece of shit.
You should have fell. You're a good faller. You should have fell.
I met Hassan Whiteside after a show at the Miami Improv.
Oh, wow.
He was there. He comes up, and all he said was good show, and then I geek out about basketball and get his number, and then he gets traded to the Blazers, and we actually texted like four times in like 5 months, which to me is like best friend status.
Yeah.
And so
with a pro athlete, it is.
Yeah, for sure. And so then also midseason. So I'm taking my dad to a game, got us really good seats. Dad never
Hassan
said.
Hassan
did? No, I did for my dad.
Oh, you got.
No, I said, yeah, but I texted him that we're coming to the game, and he was like, "Cool, look for you." So we're sitting there courtside under the hoop.
Awesome.
Balls are hitting us. It was awesome, right? It was under the hoop. I always thought was not a good seat.
It's great.
But the one closest to the hoop, every dunk and layup, you're basically just feeling and hearing.
And you got a great angle of what they see audience-wise.
Yeah. And talking shit to the ball boys. You're also hearing a lot of, they were playing the Warriors. You're hearing the opposing team or anything on the bench. Dude, I heard stuff Draymond Green said that I don't even think is legal to say in a basketball arena.
That's
and
great.
I'm like, how is TNT not picking this up on the mic? So Hassan's warming up, and he's at the baseline, and a ball that he drops rolls, and he comes over, and he picks it, and he comes over to get it. I go, "What up, dog?" And he goes, And I was like,
oh, you didn't remember.
We aren't friends after all.
Oh, that sucks too, because you're with your dad too, and there's nothing cooler than an NBA player being down on, I'm like, yeah, how you doing?
Oh, I told my dad. Is that dad? He's my buddy. My dad's like, oh, son, why?
You have to. You have to. You just text with him. I do that. Daddy. It's the guy I know. Watch this. Hey, what's up, man? Yeah. I do know him. All right, son. You it's keep dreaming.
Guy. Oh, did I say something? I said I meant Dame Lillard. Yo, Dame. Nah, yeah. He's too far away, but he'll come over.
He waved. He waved, Dad. No, he didn't. He was getting a pass. No, it's for me.
Is Curb one of your favorite shows?
I'm so happy it's back. This season is so good. Yeah, it is. You want to know why? Because it's like a fucking natural antidepressant.
It is.
I can just put it on Sunday. I don't have to think about shit. It's not like...
I did that. I totally agree.
Yeah, just getting... And it's like so much so on fire right now, too.
Well, so many of the things he continues to do at... It's amazing, too, that...
And you got to work with him.
In his 60s.
That's awesome.
It's great. To this day, nothing will top it.
That's so cool.
You know what's so funny? The filming of it is secondary to the audition. In the audition, it was more... Because I didn't think I was going past that. Not that I didn't have, like, the confidence of, like, I can get this. I just was like... It's Curb. In my head, I'm like, yo, they'll
and the
get...
thing is, he's in the every audition reading with the people, too, right?
Yes.
So that, I just wanted the audition. I never
did 1,000%.
The audition.
But in my head, I'm like, dude, even for a part like this, they will get, like, Taya Leone to do it. I don't know why I said her. But they'll get somebody famous.
I agreed with it right away. Yeah. Like, exactly.
Or Omar Epps Omar Gooding from Wild and Crazy Kids. They'll get somebody famous who's done something exciting.
What a great reference.
He's behind me because it's an Uber
Wild
driver.
Wild and Crazy Kids.
It's one of the best theme songs of all time. First of all, I'll get...
Yeah, oh, yeah, he is.
Great. That's fun right. Fact. Drink five if you're playing the Omar Gooding drinking game at home. Do you know I'll give you $20. I'll buy you lunch if you can sing the entire Wild and Crazy Kids theme song right now.
I can't.
Then you'll I just remember 20 the
Wild and Crazy Kids. You owe me $20.
Wait, now, you made a bet.
Wild and Crazy Kids.
Bet's a bet, Brent.
So the audition was...
Because he's sitting behind me. Yeah. First of all, when we shot it, I was at the end of a long day. I got there at noon. Funches was there. I see him. He's like, have a good time, Larry. Super nice. You're going to love it. Right. And he shot at noon. I didn't shoot till 6:30. Took naps in my trailer, and Larry was exhausted. But we got it, dude. We still did like 15 takes. But in the audition, I made him break 3 times.
Oh, that's
that to me was
amazing.
Like, I don't even, like, where he had to reach over and hit me, and then I turned back. First of all, he's behind me. I'm
in
doing
the audition,
it.
He's still behind you, too?
Yes. So we set up like a car.
Great.
And got Allison Jones and Garland and Jeff Schaefer.
Schaefer was. He was.
And Carol Leifer. And I'm sitting there, and I just knew, hearing him talk to me, outer body, because then I'm like, I feel like I'm listening to an episode that I'm in. And that was just, I couldn't even wrap my head around. But I knew how to build it, because they were like, don't try to be funny. But also, if you know the show.
I hate that note.
At some point.
It's a comedy show.
Yeah, at some point, you need to plant a seed. But here's why I was like, I'm not going to be the one to instigate it. I'm going to hopefully plant a seed to Larry, and then he'll, as he does, jack it up. Because in my head, I was like, I got to get a fight. I got to get to a fight with him.
That's all you want.
That's all I wanted. So I said something about like him, like being, the whole thing was on the sheet. It said like, at one point he asks what his Uber rating is and you tell him he's 1 star. That's like it.
Yeah.
So we're going, whatever. He's like, you got any gum? I was like, nah, man. I was like, everyone keeps asking for gum, like blah, blah, blah. I was like, you got to bring your own gum. He's like, why should people have to be expected to have their own gum? I go, you want gum? You got money. You look like a guy that can afford gum. He's like, I can't afford gum. I go, exactly. So next time bring it and then whatever. And then he was like, asking about how his Uber rating was 1, and I was like, you got in with 1 star energy, you know? He's like, what's 1 star energy?
That's
I go,
great.
You come in here, dude, you look like one of these guys that like brings in chicks, like they're fucking and they're doing sucking stuff back there. He goes, sucking stuff? I'm not doing sucking stuff. I'm like, and it started building, dude. And then he started laughing because I was like, then he asked me to describe, he goes like, what, like, then he set me up because then we got into a rhythm and then he started throwing me things to riff on. And then when he like reached up and like grabbed me, it was like, oh man. And he was like, that was, you know, great. And it was like, and then in my That's head, I was awesome. Like, I don't even care if I get it. But it's the filming was so much more lights, cameras. He did a full day. So more work had been, had occurred. So I think he was, not as loose. But the show, doesn't it make you think in Curb terms when you're in everyday life?
All the time. I'm constantly now, but the show's back in Curb moments. That's what, that I think internally when I actually stuck up for myself with that whole situation.
Yes.
I think it's just because I had just watched Curb.
What would Larry
and
do?
And I was like, what would Larry do right now? Because in my head, I was like, what would happen if I actually did the thing that I do in the car when I leave situations like this? Like, where everything happens so fast, you're apologizing profusely to somebody you don't know.
Yes.
And then you're in the car going, And then, you know, it's like when you don't have a comeback, but then the car, you think of the right comeback, and you're like, God, I should have fucking said that.
That's the worst. Have you ever, like, gone back?
For to say something?
Yeah.
No, but I did pull a George Costanza once, where a friend growing up, he burned me so bad. I don't even remember the context of it. And there were girls around. And so that always makes it 10 times worse, you know?
Of course.
And he was cool and shit, you know? And
well, I guess you're assuming everybody's straight. Thanks, Brent.
Great. Another block.
Yeah, great. Podcast is canceled now.
But I remember trying to recreate it the way George Costanza did with the shrimp. I don't know if you remember the episode where he was like, hey, the ocean called and they're running out of shrimp. And like everybody laughs and he doesn't have a comeback in the moment. And then he gets to Jerry's and he goes, I should have said it. The jerk star called. They're running out of you or something like that.
Yeah.
And they were like, that's not good. But he was so convinced it was that he was purposely eating shrimp to get the guy to bring that shit back up. And so then the guy says the same line, and then he says, well, the jerk store called, and they're running out of you. And then he goes, well, doesn't matter, you're their all-time bestseller. So the guy doubled down and got him again. And then he literally goes, yeah, well, I had sex with your wife. And, and then the guy goes, or they go, his wife is dead. But I did try to do that. I tried to recreate it with my friend with those same people around. I don't remember the context of it because he fucking got me so bad. And I had a great comeback, and I tried to recreate it. And I remember doing that when I was like 15, trying to recreate a situation.
Yeah.
And then I
to
think,
set yourself
yeah,
up.
And he goes, would you stop? What are you doing? Like, it was really, it's hard to recreate, but
yeah.
I've never done the go back. Have you done the go back?
No, but I've done too many of the, like, I've now, again, like watching too much of it, I get now, I'm conditioned to see the other, how people would be watching what I'm saying. So like this past week I was in Arizona visiting my girlfriend's family, and I'm talking to her brother's wife about, she just finished breastfeeding her I think 18 month old child, and we're sitting there, and he'd just come off, he just like right, and he's sitting there hanging out, and it just was like a thing that I looked over, and we kind of like, it was, I sat down on the couch where everyone's watching TV, and I was like, hey, and she was kind of holding them and just close up, and I just was like, seemed like conversation should continue about what just happened. So I go, does it hurt? I just felt like I needed to say something. And she was like, you know, like it depends. And then I found myself, you know, sometimes you're trying to overly push yourself to make small talk with your new family. You're like, let me just try to get it going, and I'll hopefully trust myself to navigate it down a safe path.
Yeah.
So I start being like, breastfeeding is our topic here. Let's see where this goes. So I'm like, does it hurt? Does he know how to does he grip on too hard? And then she's like, well, you know, it's, she goes, the nipples are sensitive. I go, they're very sensitive. She goes, yeah. And then I was like, yeah. And then she's like, so, you know, when he's sucking, she's like, he's sucking on it. And then like, you know, there's milk, and sometimes there's not enough milk. And he knows, I go, does he know how to go for how long he should go? What's the max that he can breastfeed? And then I literally hear myself across the room being like, if I were her husband and I heard me being like, so when he's sucking on your titties, which is not what I'm saying, but I heard myself, I felt like I was Larry, and if the husband of her came over being like, hey, can I talk to you for a second, Larry?
Yeah.
Don't ask my wife about her breastfeeding. You know what I'm saying? Because it felt like a weirdly personal thing that was a very normal.
Those are my nipples, not your nipples. Yeah.
Yeah. It's my kid. You're asking what, you want to know what my kid, what his lips are doing on her tits?
Why do you care if he's full or not full? Do you know? That's what he would say.
And then Larry would be like, well, she's doing it at the party. If you're doing it, I get to ask.
Yeah, you know? Which is kind of, you know, it's like, oh, she's doing it out in public.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That became a big uproar for a while, didn't it? The gals doing it in public.
The gals.
At least I'm not my brother-in-law. He's like, the broads.
The broads.
Mark knows Tim. He still says broads, which is hilarious. And endearing.
Is he from Jersey or something?
No, he's from Everett, Washington.
Oh, well, that doesn't make sense.
Shout out to Everett, yeah. It's kind of funny when you hear somebody, like my brother-in-law just doesn't, he's a sweet dude, but when he says broad, he just, you're like, oh, you're a product of your environment. You just came up in a time and an area and maybe a household where broad was like, bird flew by, and for a second I was like, I don't know if this guy's not going to turn me straight through the window.
I was wondering what you're doing. I was like,
for the people listening at home, Adam was just talking to me, and we're on the 18th floor of this building. So if you're the way he was looking at me, but then looking behind me out the window with concern, for all I know, it's a meteor. Like
I saw 9/11 vibes in your eyes. You had 9/11 eyes right there.
I was like, what the fuck is he looking at?
Did Gabriel write that? No, there was a condor. looking bird.
A real word.
There was a hawk or a condor or a velociraptor or an avatar shark that was fucking doing. Oh, dude.
Oh, man, your eyes. I got so scared.
Can I be honest? I got almost face fucked by a pigeon about 6 weeks ago at the gas station. I was filling up my car with the gas and a bird chose the front of my face as its path of flight. And I've never been more terrified probably in the last 20 years. The gas is a very mindless activity. You're sitting there, you're pumping, you're just like, you're leaving your face open and susceptible for flybys. And I'm just like this. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I just turn and this pigeon goes, and I went, and there was a woman filling up next to me. She goes, "What happened?" I go, "A bird." And she goes, "What?" And I was like, "A bird flew by." Sorry.
So you have a lot of PTSD.
Man. I've got a little. This bird just went this way, and I don't know, for whatever reason, I saw it doing this.
Yeah, you got real scared, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. That was uncalled
for. I would understand it if I was speaking and and you were looking out the window. I'd be like, oh, I'm just being boring. But you were talking, and all of a sudden, left your own conversation to look behind.
Show me what you did. I want you to act it, and maybe we can get into this cam.
This one?
So this is you, let this be the window.
I would say that's me.
Okay, so yeah, and then you look at, the window.
Okay, now I'm so confused. This is the, once again, worst improv trip right now. Can we get a suggestion?
So you guys are the window?
Yep. So you guys are the window.
The audience, guys. You guys are all bears.
All right. Go with that, bears. Right. You're a bear.
This is me, and then I'm the window when you break focus.
Wait.
No. Look at me. That's the window. So you're talking to me. Be me.
Well, wait a minute. Do you want me to show you? Audience.
I'm Liam Neeson. You're Taylor Leone.
Dead silent audience. All you hear is like two coughs. Yeah. Like,
how is it that you two assholes get every part? I booked nothing.
Like the worst fucking, like a cruise ship improv troupe.
I only have one IMDb credit. You guys have 50. You fucks.
Well, now you're throwing me off because do you want me to do it this way so that the people at home can see me do it? Because if that's the case, I would just treat
people at home. This is an America's Funniest Home Videos.
You're still going.
No, okay. So you're talking to me, but that's where you see the bird. Okay.
Wait, that's where I see. But that won't work for what we're doing. Because what I'm saying is you didn't move your head, you moved your eyes. So if I'm talking to you and that's the window, then I'd have to do this. That's kind of not working.
You're right. So what? All right. So what?
Actually, now that I did it,
the bird? You be the bird and jump up.
Actually, now that I did it, that can't be the window.
Okay, you and talk to me. Window. I'm me though in this. Yeah.
Yes. Wait.
We've got no clue.
Oh, no, I'm you.
Yeah, I'm you.
Do you want me to demonstrate what you did?
Yes, I want you to do me. And I'm Brent Morin. You're Adam Ray.
Who's
that's the
first?
Window and action.
You know what's great about the fact that these windows are open is that we could just do a time cut and it's nighttime. We're still doing this shit. No, so wait a minute. Let me get this straight.
So
you're the window.
Am I the bird or you? All right. So here we go. Okay. I'm Brent. You're Adam. That's the window where you see the bird. So I'm talking.
This is
Brent,
what Adam did.
This is what I did.
I'm talking.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Because Adam was talking.
Great. So anyways, that's when I
you know what's so crazy about that? Sometimes I think about I'm looking at her nipples and I'm thinking maybe I shouldn't be looking at her. I did it with that. So what I'm saying is, it's like, you know, sometimes you get caught in a conversation.
Oh my god, it. Is that
you were this, you went from what is that to oh my god to to should I keep going?
I looked back that many times?
Yeah, you were like, so anyway, the thing is that happened with the... Every time I do it, makes me laugh.
Oh, my God.
What else would motivate me to come looking?
By the way, we're going to have to cut back in slow-mo to see my eyes and do a zoom-in. Sam, in post, can we do that? Yeah.
In an area, in a Namibia household,
so anyway, the thing is with the nipple that happens sometimes is that you have to really realize that there's something that...
Oh, God, like, that's terrifying.
We've been all around the world.
I was just waiting for a big
concern on your face.
Shadow. Like it's fucking Independence Day or something. I thought we were just going to get
like
covered
it,
with
it
a
felt
shadow.
Like it.
And now that I know the pigeon story, I understand there's a big fear.
Dude, I now have to add that to my list of concerns when I walk outside.
That's what I was
going to
ask you. You have because sometimes... You don't realize you're scared of something until something like that happens.
Yes.
I had that with gooses. Or swans, Greg, not Greg gooses.
Greg, yeah, Grey Goose.
Is it geeses? Is it gooseses?
Yeah, when you ordered
swan,
Grey Gooses
a swan soda. Chased me as a kid, and ever since now I see swans, I stay away from them.
Wait, what are you gonna say?
If you order two Grey Gooses, do you say geese?
Yeah.
I think two Grey Geese.
Dion Cole has a great bit about that.
Does he? He goes.
He goes. Or he goes. If I'm ordering two, if I'm ordering vodka soda. Is it Grey Gooses? He goes, or is it Geeses? So then he goes, fuck it, give me a flat of vodka. Flock of vodka.
Oh, that's my God, he's so funny.
And, he's so funny. And he's
well, these stories
so
are...
Hot.
So what?
Huh?
I got, dude, he's fucking...
He's toned up, man.
I meant he was on fire, but also now...
No, he got in great shape.
I also did mean physically.
He did,
well.
Yeah.
I used to call him, when I worked at Conan, he was, you know, fat.
Yeah.
And then he lost that weight. And he ended up... he lost that weight. And I said to him, I go, this isn't good, man. And he goes, what do you mean, B? And I went, you got a drama body now. I go, you can't do comedy anymore.
Yeah.
This is a drama body. This is good. This is powerful movie body. So I kept calling
him Lawrence Fishburne's best friend buddy, you know?
Drama body.
Yeah.
He's a good looking man.
He is.
Anyway.
Crushing it.
This craziest thing seized by Customs and Border Protection.
Well, so here. Why so is that? Yeah. So this is we like to on this new ALN tackle the stories and the headlines that aren't getting all the national news attention that maybe they deserve.
Nice.
In a segment we like to call Wait, huh? Mark, what's our first story?
The nine craziest things, only one is important. The nine craziest things seized by Customs and Border Protection. Think you guys are going to love this? Live pigeons.
Live pigeons? Those pigeons aren't alive anymore.
Yeah, it goes perfect with what we were just talking about.
Wait, these are the nine things that are the most, what are they again? Popular?
Craziest things.
Okay, great.
Seized at Customs and Border Protection.
Now, really quick, before you scroll down past this, when I got arrested for pot in Arizona by some... No joke, the kid couldn't have been older than 19. I don't think he even knew that it was pot. And I was trying to make small talk because I forgot I had the joints in my backpack and it's going through. And I'm like, fuck, is this going to be a big deal?
Oh, you mean NTSA?
Yeah. I was like, I don't know if this is legal or not in Arizona. I didn't do my homework. So we're coming through.
Yeah.
And I just start, I'm like, you know what? Chum them up. This is what I always do. I go, chum up the person, get the small talk going so that they get distracted. So I go, here's my opening line. I go, you must see some crazy shit coming through these security things, huh? He's like,
why would you leave it that way?
Yeah, I don't know, dude. Like, pot's probably definitely not one of them, right? Hopefully.
I got attacked by a pigeon once. What? And he wouldn't look at shit. You don't bring up the things he's doing.
Yeah.
So what kind of things do you find out, people?
Well, I asked him, I go, and then my second, he goes, yeah, he goes, well, crazy stuff. And then I go, how many dildos do you think you found in the last year? And then he goes, 15. Didn't even hesitate. And I was like, yeah, that's why I asked. I go, got Sandy? That's why I asked. And then he literally just holds up a thing and he goes, oh, no.
Oh, he liked you.
He goes, I think I have to go find somebody, is what he said. And I was like, no, you don't. It'd be fine. Hey, it's fine. They pulled me over. They read me my rights. They're like, it's probably not going to be a big deal because, you know, it's pot. And it's like, you're not causing a scene. And I go, tell him I'm a comic. I'll get you guys free tickets. I go, tell him I have kind eyes. I was cooperative.
He's like,
I'll tell him what I'll tell him. I was like, fair enough. And then nothing happened. But this kid saying the dildos came through a lot. That was very surprising.
Wait, so nothing happened? They'd let you go?
I was fine,
everything?
Yeah.
They just took the joint?
No fine, no nothing. They just took the pot,
It's also super weird as a carry-on, a dildo. You pack that up.
That's true.
You're coming on with a dildo? Why do you need to get that dildo so quick?
Well, 14-hour flight. You know? She's horny.
Yeah, so okay.
She's got something going on.
Yeah, you're right. You can't wait to also.
It's got to feel great.
Can you?
We don't have an equivalent for that.
What do we have?
I mean, it's a penis that vibrates in you.
What do we have?
We don't have something like that for masturbation for men.
Yeah.
Nothing with dignity like that. That's for sure.
That's true. Yeah, we have nothing that we could celebrate.
Yeah. How about the sex doll thing on Curb?
Yeah, that was great.
So good.
No.
I don't think I'll ever get to a point to where that becomes a part of my routine. Divine got me a Fleshlight last holiday season. I gave it away to somebody on stage, and it sat in the back of my trunk for a good 4 weeks, and I was like, you got to take it out. Like, either take it out and use it or give it to a stranger. Were my two options. And but there are people that use these things.
All the time.
Have you?
Have I?
Yeah.
No. The thing is, at comedy festivals,
have you?
They love to do the gift bags. And I think at Moon Tower, they gave that away. I did like the second year of Moon Tower Comedy Festival, which is a great festival in Austin, Texas. Go check it out.
Truly one of the best.
But they gave away a fleshlight. And I remember it was so funny because you could tell the comedians they used it.
Yeah.
And I tried it. And, I didn't get it.
Yeah.
It's weird. And so I was like, this is stupid. But I remember it was a bunch of like, I don't want to say cardigan wearing comics, but there were a bunch of people that they were like, believe we got a fleshlight? It's crazy, right? And I was thinking, well, that guy, you definitely used it. Yeah. I remember Santino then comes, Andrew Santino comes there. He goes, hey, Santino. Like, it's a group of them, like, giggling, like, that you know that night, that first night, they must have used it because everybody's acting like, weird, right?
Yeah, why would they give it to us? This is
Santino walks up, and he goes, what's going on, guys? They're like, hey, Santino, you believe they get a fleshlight? He goes, oh, yeah, I tried it out right away. And he goes, you didn't try it? You obviously fucking tried it. Look at you. Yeah. And Brent, you tried it? I tried it. You know, people were like scared to just say. He goes, tried it right away.
No.
Stupid.
Yeah.
But just admitting it.
Is it also a flashlight?
There once was a woman who lived in a shoe. A size too snug, but what could she do? But that's not where her story ends. Thanks to a little help from her Experian friends, she got her score into much better shape and relocated to a box fresh new place. With room to grow and a mortgage to suit. Now, she lives in a spacious four-bedroom cowboy boot. Better your Experian credit score to help get mortgage ready. Experian. Better your score. Better your story.
Okay, let's move on. scroll down to the next thing that is... So live pigeons...
To me, it's also like, why does this say seized? Just let this guy go. These are his boys. Right here. There's no way that these pigeons are like in actual trouble.
Also, they were
no way. They're
pants.
They're alive. Don't they suffocate like that? Suffocate.
This is his crew. There's pigeons in the United States. If you're coming here with these, clearly you're close with these two.
Where are you taking pigeons to?
Why can't you just carry on a pigeon?
You're bringing them with you.
A carrier pigeon.
Carrier pigeon.
That's where the term came from.
What's so hard about bringing a pigeon through TSA?
I always think about Sebastian. His voice comes into my head when I see something like this. Like, where are you going that you got to get pigeons there?
That's funny.
But you know, like a funny bit.
Yeah.
Scroll down.
That was a good Sebastian.
Yeah.
Like this, I don't even know. Egyptian mummy linen. This is nothing. But then live tarantulas here.
Dude, creatures. People love to travel with creatures.
Yeah.
Tarantulas confiscated by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. December 3rd, 2010. Handout photo released to Reuters. Yeah.
How are you reading that?
You know, it's awesome.
I don't know.
You could see that?
Yeah.
I think I need glasses.
You know, also, it's weird. It actually kind of matches our chairs here at the office. This guy.
Oh,
man,
who's that?
Man disguised as car seat.
Wait a second. This is...
Wait, is that to go over the border or something?
I'm sure.
Enrique Aguilar con coronavirus, a 42-year-old Mexican national, hides in the seat of a vehicle as part of an attempt to illegally immigrate.
Also, it's like
the U.S. at the San Ysidro border crossing in California, June 7th, 2001. Wow, dude.
You also go, yo, man, you didn't think about covering your face?
Yeah, the most important part of the getaway.
Because I couldn't breathe.
I bet he was like, I got it. I'm going to be a seat. And then he did it. And it looked so bad. And how stupid did he look when he's like, so? Does it look good? And he had that friends who went, yeah, man, it looks like a seat. And they were like, it doesn't look like a seat at all. Just come on. He'll get caught. We'll get out of here.
They go, Craig, cover your face. He goes, I wanted to see your reaction when you saw me.
Sir, your chair is breathing.
Oh, shit. That's not bad, though. He got most of it covered. You got to cover your arm. All right, scroll down.
It's impressive.
Yeah. Black market bologna.
Which is like, implies there's good bologna. Like, you know, the shitty stuff.
Wait, yeah. Isn't all bologna pretty terrible?
Yeah, it's totally. Supposed to be, right?
It's totally, but it is. It's like great, but it's terrible.
What is bologna, by the way?
I think it's like a mix of a lot of shit. I have no idea.
Like, I don't even think Taco Bell would use bologna in their tacos.
It's something you eat when you overdraft your checking account.
Yeah. Dude, I had a lot of bologna sandwiches. It's also single mom snacks.
It's one of those. You know what? I've actually thought anytime bologna's brought up, which happens all the time in my life, barely. I got a lot of dorky friends that go, oh, bologna. Wow, cut that.
How gooey.
That's cuttable. But I've always wanted a bologna sandwich again just because of my childhood.
Me too.
I've been thinking about it. I can't find it and I wouldn't buy it.
Nostalgic foods are coming back, dude.
White bread, American cheese, bologna, mayonnaise, that's a great texture. You know what I'm talking about? You go through
that. White bread?
Yeah.
Did you cut off the crust?
You do wheat bread. You're nothing but a snob. You got to do
white. Yeah, I was always Wonder Bread kid.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to them?
I don't know.
Wonder Bread, because Wonder Bread also did Hostess. I remember one time. I remember as a kid, a few of the times I got real excited when I saw that you could sign up to be on Double Dare. When I saw a Hostess truck drive by. That's how you know I was a true fat kid. I got excited when a Hostess truck drove by in the neighborhood, and I was like, dude, I'm so close to getting all those Twinkies. All I had to do was chase down the truck, get the guy to stop, convince him that my mom didn't have money to buy those things.
Yeah. You had a whole plan?
I had a whole plan. All right, so is that it for the...
The rest were just kind of mostly live animals. Nothing too interesting, honestly.
By the way, black market bologna. All right.
Is it because it was too much bologna?
Yeah, it's Oscar Mayer's mortal enemy.
Chimex? Yeah, dude, Chimex does not sound like the company I want to be eating sandwiches
from. Frozen.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you just let the man have his bologna?
You guys like to see some...
All right, take it easy, man.
No, this is bullshit. Yeah. This is the problem.
This is bologna.
Would you guys like to see the move of the day?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, truck driver performs dangerous U-turn into oncoming traffic on highway, gets arrested. And at first I go, Jesus, what kind of U-turn do you deserve an arrest for? And then I saw this.
Oh, wait, hold on a second. Let Brent put his headphones on.
Ow, I just poked myself in the eye.
Jesus.
All right, I'm not doing well today.
Let's throw. You want me to expand it?
Yeah.
Okay. Bang. Here we go. Okay.
No audio, that's fine.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, he's going the wrong way.
He keeps going, which is that he's like, you know what? I'm in it to win it. Shit.
Oh, God.
I
wow.
Think that was pretty impressive.
Brilliant. Dude, that was brilliant.
Adam, that right there. Wow.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
I think that's pretty impressive. He must have just accidentally went on the wrong side, right? And then...
Well, you just start driving again. Do things like that give you anxiety and go, oh, I should just stick to the Uber life?
I think
once you get down the wrong way, though, once you're down there and you're safe, you call the police. You go, look, I came down the wrong way. Someone get over here. Yeah. I don't think you just like...
Why did he get arrested for that? Man, I really have a be terrible like small town sheriff. Hey, you guys, just you gotta go to that neighborhood. That guy, he'll let anything slide.
Yeah, I'll tell you where the real shit's
bologna,
going.
There's fucking pigeons. You
black market bologna.
Yeah, the highway's the most terrifying thing ever. Yeah,
we go like this. We blackmail this guy to import our black market bologna. This is the guy we need.
I don't know how those guys do that job. Driving one of those damn rigs.
Oh, dude, when I meet these guys at comedy shows, they're like, I drive Orange Crush from coast to coast. I'm like,
it's terrifying to
take all my money, dude.
Yeah. And you did a U-turn in that truck?
Absolutely. Georgia man takes down shoplifting suspect with grocery cart during police chase caught on video.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, dude. And there's certain headlines that are just like, I can't wait to click.
And of course.
Do we need cans for this one?
No, I don't know.
Go ahead.
Some of them have sound, some don't. Boom. Eep. You push this for play, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the big triangle in the middle.
It's not playing.
Yeah, it is a triangle, right. Isn't it?
Hold on.
Never think about a play button that it's
shit,
a
I'm going to have to hit reset on this one.
Hold on.
Now, just think. If he was able to actually start the video, I wouldn't sound like the idiot talking about triangles and play buttons. Because of you, I'm going to look like a moron now.
I also have, this is close to my heart because the grocery store life and carts, I chased out of the store to stop a guy who was robbing the store once of deodorant. A guy stole like a bag of deodorant, and my boss goes, get him. Said, get him.
You
and
worked at a grocery store?
Albertsons for 4 years, all through
high school. Shit.
And ran out the grocery store to chase the guy, and then he just like swung the bag of deodorant around like that and threw it at me.
Holy shit.
So really?
Yeah, yeah. Walked back to it. It was the greatest day ever. Never got employee of the month either, and I was very upset about
really?
That. Yeah.
That's a legitimate gripe.
But then I also was like honest. My boss was like, what'd you do? And I was like, I ran after him, and they threw it at me. And he was like, all right. But if I was like, I tackled him to the ground, I said, give me the deodorant back, you son of a bitch, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. You guys ready?
Uh-huh.
It's going.
We got no sound, huh?
No sound.
Union or out, step it up.
Oh, there we go.
Here we go.
Out one in Walmart. 85 Bush Bar.
Left the angle. Here we go.
Ooh.
Whoa. Hold on. This is the better footage.
Wait, who's robbing who?
Little vigilante justice right here. This guy's taking it in.
Oh!
Nice move.
Oh! Oh my God.
That was great.
This dad is a hero.
This is better than LeBron's dream shake.
Look at the timing on this too.
He put his arm.
I don't think he needed a cart for that many groceries, though.
Yeah.
Seems like too bad.
Yeah, dude. You know? One thing of bread, one thing of milk.
Yeah, it's weird. It was a really light bag.
That's one of those lazy...
I think I could do that. I could see myself instinctually doing that.
Time the cart into the person?
Well, just the idea that cops are chasing him, I wouldn't be scared of the guy if I saw him running like that, if he wasn't holding a gun.
Now, grocery store parking lots
I could do that.
Are where I think a lot of dudes will step up to the plate without questioning what's going on, right? Because
yeah.
you're like, how much violence can truly be possible in this moment, right?
Yeah.
Pushing a cart into a guy, if you miss him, the guy keeps running. You tried, you did your best. But also, if you do miss, do you look like a true pussy? Because everyone's like, why didn't you chase him?
And yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Hey, I had a cart, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd have that timing. I think I would push the cart, but I could see myself missing, hitting somebody's car and then having to pay for it.
Yeah.
That's a curb moment right there.
That's a curb moment, yeah. All right, last one. Let's do this one. Wait, what was the one about the girl that was...
too attractive?
Yeah.
Okay, too attractive?
Woman claims she's been kicked off Tinder because she's too attractive. Holly Valentine.
Look at this
scroll
chick.
Up for me. Yeah. Holly Valentine shares saucy photos. Are we still saying the word saucy to describe a provocative pic?
In England.
Saucy photos on her popular social media pages, but insists that all snaps on her Tinder profile were clean. Well, let's get to the bottom of this. There's Holly.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, Brent.
You know. Too attractive. Kind of looks fake there, though.
She lives in LA. Scroll up for me. She looks like it looks like a filter pic. A model claims she was kicked off Tinder because attractive that men she matched with thought she was fake.
Uh-huh.
Travels around the world. She signed up for the paid version of the site, which allows you to see people anywhere in the world and upload a number of cute snaps. While she often shares saucy photos on Instagram, she insisted all the photos on her dating profile were clean because she's shy when it comes to dating, as explained in this picture. Scroll down, Mark. Yeah. Real shy.
It's funny that you say that she looked fake too. Because
when you're in a bra, you're not shy.
Well,
right?
I'm saying it looks like one of those apps where you can make your eyes bigger and your lips smaller and your chin.
Right.
No cheekbones.
Like, yeah, those little like face changing, beautifying.
So she's locked
things.
Out of the app. Tried to re-download it. All right. Is there a story here?
Plus, you meet girls.
But is there a story?
What is
you run the paper, don't you?
Hot girl has bad day. Next story,
there's
Mark.
Story here.
Next story. One more.
You, with, like,
you guys, want,
to,
you guys want something heartwarming or something you guys would probably get yourselves into? Let's do what you guys get yourself into. How about this?
Blue Jays catcher Reese McGuire was arrested for allegedly masturbating while watching porn in his SUV in a public parking lot.
How do you show back up in a dugout when you've been arrested for this?
Oh, God, dude.
Right,
Nick
maybe.
Coming in and playing devil's advocate.
Property.
Wow, dude. I mean,
been in a rush.
First of all, where is he in the starting rotation? You know?
Yeah, is he a starter?
Does he go from number four to number two, or does he get pushed to the bullpen?
Oh, I don't have enough.
Actually, you can't put him in the bullpen. That's too many chances for him to jerk off. You know what I'm saying? That's a lot of downtime.
You're playing the whole fucking game from now on, so keep an eye on you.
You're pitching four innings every game.
That's
going
to be so funny in the clubhouse.
I don't know. I've never...
Him.
I mean, look, doing it...
About this? Cops say after they rolled up in the parking lot, they saw McGuire with his shirt barely covering his genitals and his sweatpants around his ankles. I mean, this is the only thing going to happen to a fucking guy. We go, I can't even wait one more second.
In the parking lot. Did it say what parking lot? What if he was also, it'd be great in that video of the guy throwing the cart at the robber, if the camera panned over and you just saw Reese McGuire.
He's like, should I get out to help?
Was it at the Blue Jays parking lot?
He
left the game. I was like, I got to do it now.
Dude, yeah. Do you think it was after a win or a loss?
Let me ask you a question. When they said parking lot, they didn't name it. What were you thinking? I'm going to say what I was thinking, where my mind went visualizing this.
Before my head went to the joke, which was the grocery store callback video.
I was thinking grocery store parking lot.
For sure.
That's what I was thinking.
I thought Target. I thought busy parking lot.
Yeah.
But because it shouldn't be. He probably thought busy because no one's looking for that.
Yeah.
Because if there's no one around, maybe there's more chance for someone to see one solo car in a parking lot where there's not a lot of action.
You've also got to consider how many family members are still alive. Like, if your parents are still alive, you can't do shit like this.
Oh, you're making Thanksgiving a little more fun for everybody else.
You got to go back to the kids' table if you do this. They go.
That is so weird.
But
why
can I be
arrest
honest?
Them, though? Why wouldn't you just knock and go, dude, you got to.
You'd be a terrible
go
cop.
Somewhere.
Yeah, you
got to come to my town.
Brent Town?
It just seems like so
easy
much
town, to USA.
Arrest somebody for jerking off. Just tell them to get out of here. You know, like the squirrels, you know, in your yard. Yeah. You're like, go, get.
Does that work?
No.
I actually, go get.
Squirrels have been taking over my backyard.
You got a crazy. Fucking dope ass house. And where you guys record the lines then, which everyone should download and subscribe, because the show's killer. Jay and Brent have an amazing dynamic. But the set... It's just what it was. It's amazing. You have this cool ass house and have all these rooms that some of them look like they're out of Boogie Nights. Some look like they're out of Mary Poppins. Like it's just like a nice, fun.
I'm a silly man.
You're selling the house?
No, I said I'm a silly man.
You moved out of your old place?
I'm not in an apartment. No,
oh, got a house now. With a pool.
But these squirrels have really taken over. I Insta story about it. The dynamic. They dominated me. They've claimed the backyard. They eat all the fruit and they stopped eating like nuts. So they got real fat. And one of them looks at me every morning, like, because there's a window by my bed, and he has no tail. Something happened out there to him. And I named him Butch, and he would look at me every morning. People don't believe me. They didn't believe me about the tailless squirrel. Then I started when I captured him, I started... Captured him on video.
Oh, okay. When I found him up in the net, put him in the bathtub.
Jason was on the lion's den with me. He was like, I thought you were lying about the squirrel with no tail. I go, okay, really? You think, one, you thought I was lying and you didn't even call me out? So you just think I'm some lunatic talking about tailless squirrels? We're like best friends. This squirrel used to watch me every morning and I was wondering what's the deal here? Are they aggressive or are we going to be friends? Because I allow men. But this one squirrel would look at me. And one morning I was just staring at him and he's staring at me. And I was like, what's your problem? Like, I'm just looking at him because he's looking at me. Every morning he looks at me. And this one morning where I go, what? Just... window, he can't hear me. He leaps at my window and hits it as hard as he can.
Oh shit.
And I went, oh, so now I'm a little
wait, give me that noise again.
I went, oh, because I was scared. I'm like vulnerable and it just, he had no fear. And now it's like I can hear him all the time and they're eating my fruit. They take fruit from neighbors' houses and they eat it in front of me where the sliding door is and looks at me.
Can you not get access to fruit? Why are they taunting you with fruit?
I have fruit. They just want to take the big ass fruit and munch in front of me. They want me to look at me eat your fruit.
It's because you're new on the block.
They're really dominating me, dude. Prison rules. Like, they have me. And now they're getting so fat because they usually run on the house, but they're so fat now it just sounds like elves running on my fucking roof now because it's so loud now. It's like...
Yeah, you don't anticipate fat squirrels being a part of your...
Because they used to be delicate on their little feet. Yeah. Now they're fucking loud, man. And
so what's the next move? Do you call an exterminator?
No, I'm kind of trying to bridge the gap here because one of them doesn't run away. See, like some of them, like they scatter, but this one doesn't run away. So I'm trying to bridge the gap. Maybe sit down. He sits with me. We discuss terms.
Visitation rights.
He brought a lawyer with a little briefcase. He has a little...
I mean, listen, I have a room filled with lion pictures. I have a room filled with pandas.
You do.
Called the Panda Room.
I love it.
I love the fact that when people come to my house, I have squirrels that I'm friends with that are just around my feet.
Cinderella did it with mice.
You got to live a silly life, boys.
Yeah. Well, where can people get the lions then?
It's everywhere, available on all the things.
And YouTube, you guys got the video, which is great.
Yeah, and we're doing the video of it. You know, we're building it. We're only 8 episodes in, and there's like many things we're figuring out and trying to learn. You get better at it for sure, but it's not like this. This is a production, Jesus.
Well, look, we got these chairs that are set for falls.
It is.
We got joke furniture. You'll work up to that.
Terrifying birds, apparently. The fear in your eyes, dude.
Yeah. Are you touring right now?
No, I'm not. I'm gonna do. I have a few dates. March 19th to the 21st, I'm in Philly at the Philly Punchline.
Oh, great!
And then I'm in April. I'm in Tempe. I think April 2nd to the 5th.
Fuck yeah!
Yeah. And Jason Collins is gonna be with me on both those dates. So if you're a Lions Den fan, come see him.
Come out and
be
enjoy.
Better than me.
And then in town shows all the time.
Yeah, comedy store all the time. You know, what we do, the racket.
You mean the circuit?
The circuit.
The racket.
Man, I got moose on my face, dude.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Everywhere.
Now is the chance to use reliable energy to grow your money with the Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. Our new investment product offers competitive returns, no maintenance fees, and flexible online access to your money. Make the reliable investment in reliable energy. The Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. To find out more, go online to reliabilityinvestment.com. That's reliabilityinvestment.com.